Thank you. Can you all pull out your Bibles to Luke chapter 10? I'm really excited to share this message with you. It didn't start that way about a month ago. Pastor shot me a text. I was working. For those of you that don't know, I work from home. So I have, it looks like something like some type of space center. So I have my work computer here. I have three monitors, and then my MacBook Pro goes here. So, and it's really cool. The middle, I can switch between this computer or that computer. So whatever computer I'm supposed to primarily be doing my work on, I have three monitors, and the other one has two. I have a MacBook, so I get the text notice like on my personal computer. So if I don't silence the notifications, I hear a bing, and then I look over, and sure enough, I hear bing, and then there's pastor that says, "Will you preach Sunday night, November 5th? And I was, first thought was like, ah. Second thought, I'm like, hmm. So I call him, and I say, "Hey, I'm feeling like, at the same time, is that okay?" And he said, "Absolutely. Like, I think that you should take any opportunity to preach," and I agreed. And then what do? Then I call Brother Lutz, and I start talking to him a little bit, and I call Brother Royalty. So, like, all friends here, and just try to just seek what I should do. And I really thought I knew what was going to be preached tonight, but as you know, that stuff changes. So I pretty much had a whole outline written, and then I landed in Luke 10. I was considering our church, and nothing in particular, other than what time of year it is. Like, just basic stuff, nothing like any conversation, but the time of year. And it led me to something special, I think, in Luke chapter 10. And on the way here, I'm excited and nervous, and I kind of had a glimpse of what it would be like to be an evangelist. Like, so those of you that don't know, I wasn't here this morning. I was in Michigan eating some really good food. Anybody else eat some good food today? Yeah? So please don't fall asleep. If you can, just, like, stretch a little bit. Like, please. If you need to stand up, stand in the back, great. We had some good food in Michigan. But anyways, of course, we went to a service at Van Born Baptist Church up in, like, Canton, Michigan area, and I realized what time it was, and I forgot to make the time change in my vehicle. So it looked like an hour ahead, right? And I'm thinking, like, I don't have any time. I'm going to get there. It's going to be like 5:30. I'm going to run into that church. And I was so scared, and I was just thinking the whole time, this is what an evangelist must feel like. But anyways, so we're here in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer and then get into the message. Father, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us. And I'm not talking just here, Lord. I'm talking when we're at our homes and we're just having a devotion time with you. Thank you for just meeting with us individually. You can meet with all of us at the same time, and individually you're not bound by that, Lord. And just pray that you that I was obedient in what I needed to. I pray that I studied adequately, Lord. And I pray that just your word touches your people, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Luke chapter 10. We're looking at we're going to start in verse 38, but we're then going to go through the rest of the chapter. And the title of this message is "Sometimes a Sandwich Will Do." And I'm sure you all are familiar with Mary and Martha, like what this text goes over. But I want you to just consider this. The Holy Spirit pauses here to describe a special event, right? These are Christ's friends. And it probably took place, so if we're looking at a map, and we have to the west here, like Jerusalem here, we have the Mount of Olives and Bethany, which is where, not right here, well, we do have Bethany over here too, but Bethany is the place where Martha's house is at. And that's going to be in the Mount of Olives. Then over here, let's see, I have here. So Bethany was at the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem. Remember, we have Jerusalem here. We have the Mount of Olives here. That stands about 2,500 feet above sea level, okay? Pretty tall. Jerusalem stands about that tall, like a little bit less. So, like, it's not really big difference here. But then to the east, we have the Dead Sea, which is 1,290 feet below sea level. Isn't that weird? So keep in mind, that's 1,290 feet below sea level. So that's the deepest place on earth that's still land, okay? So just think of the elevation changes, right? So anyways, in about 25 miles, it goes from 2,500 feet to 1,300 feet below sea level. That's nearly 4,000 feet. into the heat of the Jordan Valley. So if we zoom in into Bethany, we have Martha's house. Now, when we read the text, there's no mention of Lazarus here. He was probably in Jerusalem for the feast. And now what feast are we going to be talking about? So this actually took place, it's believed, it's during the Feast of Dedication. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Don't be ashamed if it doesn't. Does anybody recall what Hanukkah is? Right? North, south? This is that time. It's during the Feast of Dedication. It happens in either November or December. Pretty much it's their holiday season too, in some ways. They have like six feasts. But what really got me to land here while I'm reading through the Gospels is Grace Baptist Church, it's November 5th. We're about to go and see our friends and family during our holiday season. And it's believed that this was about 3 months on the low end to a year at the absolute most, most likely between 3 and 6 months before Christ was being crucified. So this was indeed during their holiday season, and it was a place, of course, Christ knew that he would be crucified. He took a time here, and the Holy Spirit described to us this wonderful event that happened behind closed doors with him and his friends. So I want you to consider that as we go into the holiday season and as we read this text. So I'm going to begin here. If you can please follow along, we're in Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 38 and finish the chapter. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So the first point, so we're going to look into this text and really consider why the Holy Spirit took time in the Gospel of Luke. Here. There are many points to be made about this time, but we're going to look at three specific points in this text and try to apply it to our lives and this holiday season that we find ourselves in. So the first thing we're going to look at is verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. So the first point I want us to just consider is the distraction of service. So Martha loved to serve. You might say, well, how do you know that? It says that right there. Well, in John chapter 12, we're going to look at that in a little bit, but John chapter 12, also the Holy Spirit took a moment to remind us that Martha served. So service is, it's certainly not bad. Really isn't. In fact, service is biblical, and specifically, hospitality is biblical. Everybody, just so of course we're not taking my word for it, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to take a look at this thing called hospitality. So 1 Peter chapter 4 is just a few pages back, and we're going to look at chapter 4, verse 9. So use hospitality one to another without grudging. Service and hospitality is good. In fact, flip over to Romans, and we're going to look in Romans chapter 12. We're going to be flipping a few pages back and forth here, but Romans chapter 12. So not only is it biblical to serve and biblical to be hospitable, it's actually one of the true marks of a Christian. So let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So serving's biblical, hospitality is biblical, and it's the mark of a true Christian. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. You can turn there if you'd like. Really, I'm just going to plug a couple things here. It says a bishop must be given to hospitality. Titus chapter 1, verse 8 says elders must be a lover of hospitality. So let's be clear. Anything we've done here, like anything good or bad or like little things that we say to our siblings or parents or anything like that, it's not recorded here. So Martha, we're going to see later, gets rebuked. And it's nothing that Martha did nothing wrong by serving at all. In fact, and the hospitality that she served, she did very well in that. It's right and biblical to be hospitable. Martha's service was a wonderful gift to the Lord. Christ was sitting there in the chair, and while he's sitting there talking to Mary and the other disciples, Martha was in there, I think, cooking. Whenever I think about something, I think of food, obviously. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of us are like that, right? So, like, I think Martha is over there fixing some food or whatever, and they're all going to eat it. Like, this is good, right? They're probably smelling these things. They're looking forward to whatever food's going to come from her efforts. But just consider, Martha's service was a gift. Our service, whatever we're doing, if we're back there, or if we're sitting here, or if we're driving the bus, or whatever we're doing, it's a service to the Lord. And that's a gift. That's a gift that you're giving back to the Lord. It is honorable and it's right to do. But there's a danger, a serious danger in being distracted by the service. So how do we know this? It says in the Bible here, let's look back here. I have to flip back. Please keep your finger in Luke chapter 10. So Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at here, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Listen to this. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Consider that. She is ruining the gift that she is giving to her Savior. If she continued to think of the reason for her service, she would have been absolutely fine. Listen, if she would just think of, Jesus is in my living room, he's sitting with my sister, he's sitting with the disciples, and I'm cooking this meal that they're going to enjoy. If she kept Jesus as that focus, this would have never happened. It's possible to serve the Lord and others without love and devotion, all because she took her eyes off of the entire reason for this service. Everything we do, we need to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? So the first thing I want you to consider with this is everything we do should be motivated by our faith. Now I know what you're saying, like when I get up and brush my teeth. Seriously, everything that we do should be motivated by faith. Let's turn to Romans here, just so it's not like I'm not being like dogmatic or just I get my opportunity and just want to say these things. So Romans chapter 14, I want to wait until we're all there because it's really important. Romans chapter 14, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at 23. Now consider, everything we do must be motivated by our faith. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Everything we do should be motivated by our faith. And if we keep the reason for the Lord or our friends, right, but we're loving on our friends for the Lord, right, or through the Lord. So Everything we do should be motivated by faith. And remember, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we need to keep that in to stay in the right spirit. So the first thing, the first subpoint of this, if you care about that, is everything we do should be motivated by faith. The next thing is everything we do should be to the glory of God. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just a couple pages, still to the right here. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to look at verse 31. For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Yep. Did that. Let's see. I went to 11. Please excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're looking at verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So everything we do should be motivated by our faith, and everything we do shall be to the glory of God. So if we keep those two things in our heart and consider those things as we think about what we're going to do and as we do what we do, we will not lose sight like Martha did here. And I'm not saying that to condemn Martha. It's Martha did something that I do probably more than I want to admit, and probably more than you do than you'd like to admit as well. It's easy to lose track of the main thing. And it's easy to lose track of that main thing and then impact not just others, but the people that you were doing that for. You end up putting your foot in your mouth. And ever have this done? I've done this, unfortunately. Like, I think we've all done it. Where you're doing this really nice thing, and then like things don't go to plan, and then like something happens. I don't know, you stub your foot, something happens, and then like you kind of lash out at the person that you like did the whole thing for, and then you're to the point, well, I shouldn't have probably ever done this. You ruin it because you forget the entire reason why you do it. Martha's preoccupation with serving led her to be encumbered about much serving. And this mirrors how the holiday preparations can sometimes overwhelm us and detract us from the true joy and meaning of this season. We must be cautious not to lose sight of the importance and devotion to Christ. We should have a few minutes. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. Let's go to the Old Testament here. 1 Samuel, we're going to be in chapter 15. Martha was doing a really good job. She was doing a good job until she didn't. Until she got sidetracked on what she was doing. She forgot why she was doing this. Now, it's easy to think, too, like, if we don't do one thing, and then we're, like, doing all these other things, maybe she, after the rebuke, she put her foot in her mouth, and she started making it again and thinking, like, well, I'm doing this, and then Mary's over there still listening, like, listening to Christ. But we need to read this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So we must be cautious not to lose sight of the importance of devotion to Christ, possibly like how Martha did with Mary, as obedience to Christ is better than sacrifice. So think of this too, like this, if you're teaching Sunday school, if you're teaching a class, if you're coming out more than you know you used to, anything. It is better to be obedient to Christ than it is to sacrifice for him. That's what the Bible says. When I get puffed up and being like, yeah, I didn't do this, but I did that, this, and this other thing, it doesn't matter. I need to be obedient to Christ. Period. And that's, I think, what Mary did right here. So let's quickly flip back to Luke and look at chapter 10, Let's keep your finger there too if you keep flipping away too. So Luke 10:39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So before Jesus came and his disciples came, they were walking there, right? They're not in the house. They get to the house right before the ding dong. I'm sure they had that, right? Right before the ding dong, they're cleaning, cooking, like all the things. I don't know, using their Swiffer WetJet, and they're cleaning up the house, right? Just because it was the feast time. Remember, it was the holiday season, right? So they were cleaning up the house. They were making this all prepared. Probably good smelling food, like a fire, whatever. And then the ding dong came, and Martha let them in. And Martha had the sidekick, Mary, her sister, working and doing all those things, making it look nice. And when they came and they sat, and then Martha went back to serving, Mary goes and sits down. So there was a choice that she made to sit down. I don't know. It doesn't say if they were like planning on coming. I don't know. Maybe he sent an email or a text message. But the point is that at one point they were serving together, they were doing something together, and then the ding-dong happened, and then Jesus and his disciples sat down, and Martha went back to do the work, and Mary was there sitting. It's important to consider that she chose. She could have gone back to what she was doing with Martha, but she didn't. It's important, it's very important to see that she made that choice. We cannot expect any success when we're not properly connected with the Lord. John 15:4-5 say, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Mary sought Jesus when she had the opportunity to. Our devotion and relationship with Christ should be at the forefront of our mind in holiday celebration. Like Mary, we should seek to prioritize the time spent with him and prioritize fellowship with him in studying his word. Second Timothy 2:15. We need to be able to study to show ourselves approved. And we need to, through that, we need to understand the true meaning of this season. Listen, friends, you're about to be going to the holiday season. You're going to be seeing family that you might see, maybe New Year's, Thanksgiving, Christmas. How many times a year, right? 6 at most. You're about to see friends and family that you don't see very often. They probably, if you're doing something right, they're probably going to know you're saved. You need to be studying to show thyself approved to be able to give a reason for the joy that lies in you. Listen, I went to, in Pittsburgh. I think it was one of our best friend's kids' parties, like a birthday party. And it so happened that my best man and Kaylee's maid of honor ended up getting married and having kids. Crazy. They met at, like, the reason for them meeting was our wedding. Crazy. So I'm sitting there on the couch, and they all know that, you know, I'm in Bible college, and maybe I'm a little weird and stuff like that. But I'm sitting on the couch, and then my friend's mom, that I've known for decades, goes like she's sitting there, and it's kind of quiet over here. And then she's talking like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" It was a Bible question. And I answered the question, and I just go back to sitting there. And then she says, "What do you think about this?" I answered, and I just went back. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, she asked one question, two questions, and it's all relating to, everything relates to the gospel. Everything in one way or another relates to the gospel. Before I know it, I'm starting to share Romans Road with her, basically. I'm going into, it's basically like, "Hey, do you know how to get saved? Do you know what to get?" Like, it's basically like any question like that, according Like any Bible question, all points to that. So I'm over there, now I'm like, oh wow, this is really cool. Like, I can't believe this is happening. And then I like shift gears and I just start talking Bible. And then there's Kaylee in the living room like, what is going on? Like, because we're in our family, like this is our family outside of family. And just, you're caught off, you have no idea when you'll get the opportunity to share the gospel with friends or family. You could have known them for decades and now's your shot. This is the time that we need to put the effort in to what does the Bible say and how to be saved. If I go, we need iron sharpens iron, I should be able to go to any one of you men and ask, what must I do to be saved? And you should have an answer for me. It's better to be buddy checking. We call it in the military battle buddy checks. I should be able to battle buddy check every single one of you so that way you're not ashamed when your family asks you, how do I go to heaven? So Mary spent time with the Lord when she could. I really think we all want to be Mary. But at least I probably tend to be a Martha more times than a Mary. It's like, it's not true, I put God first in all things I do. That's true, you do until you don't. And it's easy to serve the Lord when it's easy to serve the Lord. But when you have a house to clean and a family to take care of and your email box fills up and work's piling up, maybe your phone's ringing, maybe two phones are ringing, now you don't have time to spend time with the Lord. I wanted to stop and get a Pez dispenser on the way home. Kaylee was probably wondering, like, why do you want to get a Pez dispenser? I wanted to get one, like, last night. It was like 7 o'clock or something like that. And they're like, why do you want a Pez? Like, I wonder what my father-in-law thought. Like, why does he want a Pez dispenser? And then Kaylee's like, do you want the dispenser or do you want the candies? Because in Amish country, there's a big bag of the candies. And I'm like, well, I want both. And they probably thought, like, I just wanted to eat a bunch. But when I was just reviewing my notes, I'm just, friends, I wanted to go over this multiple days and just really saturate myself in this Bible and just see what the Lord would have me to give to you. And I just kept going back to this Pez dispenser. And this is honestly how I operate a lot of times. What's the first thing we should do when we get up in the morning? Not brush your teeth. Before brushing your teeth or anything like that, it's probably read the Bible, right? And have prayer time. But one, the Pez dispenser. So then I'm like, okay, I get ready to get my Bible out and stuff. Jonah comes down. And Jonah had a bad dream. I have to hand that Pez dispenser. Every time I do this, I'm putting something in the Pez dispenser, okay? So then I'm like, oh, I didn't have my coffee yet. I need to go and set my coffee machine, right? Pez dispenser. Elisha's now crying, and I have to take Elisha in to Kaylee to feed. Pez dispenser. Before I know it, then I have to go check my emails, or I have people for work texting me. Pez dispenser. I look at my calendar and realize that I'm late for a meeting. I have to jump on. Pez dispenser. And before I know it, this Pez dispenser is full. And I don't know if it's just being a guy or like task-oriented. I don't know what it is. But when you have a Pez dispenser, you only pull from the top. And you'll get to what you get to. But I just find myself, all right, well, this is the most, maybe not important thing, but this is what I can knock out in this. And then I start going through that Pez dispenser. We saw earlier Matthew 13:44 says, excuse me, we see in Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That's exactly how we need to be seeking the Lord and how we need to treat our Pez dispenser. When you lose track and you wake up, you're about to do things the right way, and you pull out your Bible and you get all ready and that Pez goes in and then you remember the coffee and Jonah and all these other things. At some point when you realize you're stuffing in that Pez dispenser, before connecting with the Lord, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to open that Pez dispenser and let all the Pez fall. You need to seek that first piece of candy, the Lord, before you can start doing anything else right. Look, if I'm not right with the Lord, I'm not going to treat my son right. If I'm not right with the Lord, I'm not going to treat my wife right, my other son, my parents. I'm not going to treat you right. The thing is, when you realize that you did not take that first piece of candy first, let the main thing be the main thing, you need to dump that Pez dispenser out, and you need to find Jesus. You need to connect with him, because all those other pieces of candy are going to taste terrible. And by doing so, you'll find the true peace and joy that will sustain you and I through this holiday season and beyond. And you'll have your answer to those when they ask you, what must I do to be saved? The last point, we're going to look at Jesus' response. So turn your Bibles to, you should be in Luke still, Luke 10. Excuse me. We're going to look at verse 41 through the end. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Notice Jesus' response. It was a gentle rebuke. Jesus lovingly rebuked Martha, saying, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Jesus said, one thing is needful. What was Martha doing, probably? Remember, everything I do, I think food first. Martha was probably making some food. That's why I titled this, Sometimes a Sandwich Will Do. Martha was probably making some really good food. And to me, food is needful, but probably is not as needful as I make it out to be. And Christ says here, one thing is needful. Let's look at this word for word. Verse 42, but one thing is needful. And is it food? No, it says, and Martha hath chosen that good part. Christ's words are needful. I don't care what Martha was cooking. It could have been steak, turkey, whatever. I like that stuff. I love that stuff probably too much. But I really don't care what Martha was cooking, because Mary and the others that were sitting on Christ's feet were more well-fed than whatever Martha could have been putting together. My mind, I think of Luke 4:4, and shall not live on bread alone, but by every word, right? In Luke 4:4, is Luke and Matthew 4:4, right? You have parallel verses. Let's quickly turn to Luke just to look at this. I know it's really common knowledge, but it's important to look at, look, the more I'm going through Bible college, and it's not needed, you all have been here under really solid preaching for years. And the one thing I'm learning, especially here, is you got to look at each word and how they string together and what type of meaning, because words mean things. So let's look at Luke 4:4. And Jesus answered him and saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What does the beginning say? And Jesus answered him saying, it is written. See, like when I thought of it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, I'm thinking, okay, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Right? Right? That's the New Testament, we look at that more so probably than anything in the Old Testament. But Christ said, it is written. What does that mean? Did they have their Bibles there? No. They had the Old Testament. Jesus didn't say, well, look at Luke 4:4. No, he said, it is written. Friends, that's Deuteronomy 8:3. It wasn't that we need to start living on bread alone. I mean, we need to live on every word. It was all the way back, Moses writing in Deuteronomy, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word. Mary and the disciples were better fed by Christ than whatever Martha was putting together. And I don't know if it was me just thinking like in the flesh, but I was thinking like if I was trying to put myself in each person's scenario. So I was thinking if I was Martha and, okay, Kaylee and I are working together, my parents are coming, like, oh, you guys are coming, and like we're working and we're cleaning, and then Kaylee goes and sits on the couch to talk to you guys while I'm trying to like finish putting stuff together, I'd kind of be upset. I think so, right? Like, let's be real. Come on. Like, you and your spouse, you guys are in this together, and then your husband goes and turns on the football game. Right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'd be upset. And I was thinking, like, I'd be mad. Do you think Christ considered all the work that has been done, and all the work that needed to be done, and how many people there were for that work? Look, before Jesus ding-donged, right, he knew how much work was done in that house. He knew that Mary would sit there. Remember, that's the needed part. That's the better part. And he knew how much work that Martha had after that, and that was sufficient for her to give her love offering for the Lord. I really thought for a little bit, I'm thinking, like, man, I'd be so mad. But Jesus knew how much work was left, right? And it was enough where she should have been able to do it herself, to do for the Lord. The Lord knew how much. Martha, that wasn't the first time she served. Remember that? Let's turn to John 12. And I got all mixed up right there. I'm realizing I'm in Luke. I'm like, oh, where is it? Oh, okay, the next. John 12. Let's look there. And when we're looking in John 12, let's just go to John 12, 2. There, they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Was Lazarus at the time when we were in Luke? No. They believe he was at the feast, like in Jerusalem. So remember, we got the Mount of Olives. He was over here. He was not there. He was not mentioned, at least. So many people believe that he was in Jerusalem. Was he there? Yes? This was a different time. And if you look, I know the gospel, they're not all like, okay, Matthew 10, Luke 10, they're not all in the same place. So chronologically, we're just lucky that we're looking at Luke 10, and this is John 12, okay? In Luke 10, it was about 3 to 6 months, it was during like Hanukkah. It was up to a year. I don't think it was that far based on everything that I was pulling together, but I'm new in Bible college. But it was between, at least, nobody can argue, between 3 months and 12 months. This happened. This happened even later. This happened very close. Like if you look in your Bible here, right before that, you can see Christ's anointment. Like this is right before he's crucified. So what does that mean? That means that in Luke chapter 10, who is rebuked? For Martha. Right? Because she did what? Because she got her eyes off of Christ and onto her. This happened, friends, after that. This happened after the Holy Spirit recorded that she was rebuked by Jesus. So, fine. What does that mean? Let's read that verse 2 again. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. He could have left out that part. He could have left, there they made him a supper, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. That would have read absolutely perfect. The Holy Spirit stopped to tell us Martha served. Martha did not get bitter about being rebuked in front of, first Jesus, Christ rebuked her. But not just that, I don't know if I'm reading this wrong, but I believe that Jesus was still sitting there, Mary was still sitting there, and all the disciples. He rebuked her in front of the closest friends, but Martha kept serving. She didn't get bitter in that service. She accepted the rebuke by Christ, and she continued to be faithful in service. It really could have made her jaded. Anyways, it's amazing that she just kept chugging along. Excuse me. So we see that Mary chose the better part, the devotion and fellowship with Christ, which should be the only truce for our joy. Look, it's easy to rely on other people's. If Jonah's being good and Kaylee's making the best food and stuff, it's easy for me to have joy, where I think so. I'm happy. If I wanted to make Jonah or Elisha happy, not so much Elisha yet because of age, but if I want Jonah to be happy, I can offer him ice cream. Happiness isn't the goal. Joy is the goal. And the joy, the only true source of joy, is not found in your friends. It's found in Christ. That's why it's important to consider choosing that better part. Now, in conclusion, service and hospitality are good, and they're marks of a true Christian, after looking at Romans 12:13. Martha could have gotten jaded from this service, and we see that she continued to serve. And we need to eat, but we must not live on bread alone. We see that in Deuteronomy, Luke, and Matthew. But what we need is that better part, and we need to sit on Jesus' feet. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason, for a reason of hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." When your family and friends ask, "Sir or ma'am, what must I do to be saved?" have an answer. Don't be ashamed. And listen, don't keep putting price down in that Pez dispenser. If you do, you need to dump it out and search for the Lord. And remember how he rebuked Martha when she wasn't keeping the main thing the main thing. It was a soft rebuke, reminding her that one thing is needed, and it's that better part. And I wanted to give a last thought. This isn't related to the 3 points, but it's something that I think is equally important, and I think while I am able to share with some of my dearest friends something, I need to do it. We know that the Gospel of Luke and any of the Gospels, they don't provide timestamps, but we can figure out like what time of year it is and some other things. Like I said, this is 3 to 6, maybe 12 months, I don't think so, but 3 to 6 months before he was crucified. We see that Martha kept serving. I don't know, it could have been just days before he was crucified. And I'm 33 this year. A lot of people think Christ would have been 33 when he was crucified. He was probably much more physically fit than I. He would walk everywhere. You know, he can't just call an Uber, can't just get Uber Eats. But think about that. He probably felt good, looked good, right? And he's just sitting there, and it's Hanukkah. Martha was in there cooking and cleaning or whatever she had to do, thinking that she had next Hanukkah with him in the year after that. Little did she know, and everybody else in that house, that they had, at most, 12 months with him. How many times do we have... We just had to put our dog down last week. One of our dogs, Ellie. How many times are you sitting with all your friends and family thinking, like, this is pretty good, and then they're not there the next season? It could be us. We have no idea how much time we have. We just know that we have today. And tomorrow is a gift. We know that the event at Mary and Martha's would have occurred closer to the end of his ministry. And when Martha was upset and went back to the service, she probably didn't think that there was, if you count, like, so when you see your friends and family, remember we said, like, you see them 6 times a year, maybe? So think of how many years. How many years do you think you have? Just guess. How many years do you think some of the older people in your family have? times that by 6 at most. That's how many more times you have to meet with them to persuade them about the gospel. If you fail, or if you are ashamed because you do not spend adequate time with the Lord to give an answer, they will spend forever in hell. I ask you to consider that. Christ died on the cross within 12 months from that time with Mary and Martha. So in closing, I just ask you to consider James chapter 4, verse 14, if you can write that down. I thought of this. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's you. That's every person that you know. You don't have forever. You have 6 times how many years to be able to share the gospel. Consider that and consider the reason why you do whatever you do and how you do it, because all should be to the Lord. Let's close in prayer.